Very good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. It is a great privilege for me to share God's word this morning. Shall we commit this time to our Lord? Father Lord, we want to thank you and praise you. For this morning, you have brought each and every one of us here to worship you in spirit and in truth, that we can sing praises of songs from our heart to you, and that you may be pleased. And as we Your humble servant share your word this morning. May your Holy Spirit use it to touch our hearts, that we will go forth and be involved with mission to glorify your name and your name only. In Christ's precious name, we pray. Amen. In 1912, we all know that the Titanic sank after it hit an iceberg. And 4 years later, after the Titanic sank, there was a man by the name of Riley. He was attending a church in Hamilton in Canada, and one day he came out like this, and he shared with the congregation that he was actually one of the survivors of the Titanic. And on that night, he was having a conversation with another person by the name of John Harper. John Harper was a pastor. And he was traveling from Southampton to New York to pastor a church in Chicago. And there, Riley was having a conversation, and John Harper, a pastor, was sharing the gospel with him. And then the Titanic hit the iceberg, and both of them were separated, and they were in the sea. And while Riley was in the sea, he was holding for his dear life on a piece of debris. Suddenly, in the pitch darkness, he found that the wave has pushed John Harper into his midst. And John Harper asked him, "Man, are you saved?" And Riley said, "No." "Then believe in our Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." And then the wave took John Harper away, and Riley was separated. Again, he was in pitch darkness. And then, maybe by divine appointment, the tide brought John Harper, the pastor, again into the midst of Riley. And again now, John Harper asked Riley, "Man, are you saved?" And Riley thought for a moment, "No." And John Harper said that, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." And this was for the third time. And then the wave took away John Harper, and John Harper sank and was drowned. And then in the pitch darkness, Riley said that he searched his heart, and then he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. John Harper's last word to Riley was, "Man, are you saved?" And this reflected very clearly that John the pastor understood the last word of Jesus Christ. Do you know what is the last word of Jesus Christ? When Jesus Christ was crucified, died, buried, and rose again, he appeared to the disciples for 40 days, and then he ascended to heaven. But before Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, Jesus shared his last word. And his last words is found in the Bible, which I'm going to share with you and do an exposition. And last word is something that is very important that we must truly understand and apply to our life. And Jesus' last word actually is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And just 33 words. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Just 33 words encapsulated almost everything you want to know about mission. Firstly, what is mission? Many of us think that mission is just sharing the gospel. But is that what Jesus' last word tell us? And secondly, who is to do mission? Obviously, it is the missionary who are the one to do mission. But is that what Jesus' last word tells us? that it is the missionary are the one to do mission. And thirdly, how to do mission? Well, you just learned John 3:16 like just now. And that is how we do mission. But is that what Jesus' last word tells us? That is the way to do mission. And finally, where are we to do mission? In Petaling Jaya, there are 98% of the people who are not Christian. So if we use human mind, it is obvious that we are to do mission work in Petaling Jaya. But is that what Jesus' last word tells us, that we are to do mission in Petaling Jaya? Firstly, what is mission? Jesus' last word tells us that mission is to be Christ's witnesses. And the Bible scholar will want a very precise and complete definition of mission. And the Bible scholar will define mission as God sending Christians and the church into the world as His witnesses. And that is the definition of mission. But what is to be a witness? Do you understand the word witness? I understand the word witness because many times I've been called to the court of law to be a witness. And in Malaysia, I read that in 1 year, there are 500,000 motor vehicle accidents. And that is why many people, when I meet, they want their children to become orthopedic surgeon because there are so many accidents and you'll be very busy. And in 1 day, the statistic department tell us that 19 people will die. And so, many of the patients after accident, they will sustain injury, like they become paralyzed. Some will have shortening of the leg. Some will have leg stiffness. And they suffer permanent disability. And they cannot go to work. So the lawyer will send to me this patient, and I will write a specialist report. And then sometimes when the lawyer cannot agree, they will ask me to go to the court to become a witness. And I understand what it is to be a witness. To be a witness is speaking about what you have seen and heard. And Acts 4:20, when the Sanhedrin tells the disciple that you cannot share the gospel of Jesus Christ, Peter replied that I cannot help speaking about what I have seen and heard. And that is precisely what is to be a witness of Christ. The love of Christ compels us to share about Jesus Christ in the gospel. But this morning, Acts 1:8 reminds us that it is not just witnesses, but it is to be my witnesses. So when we witness the gospel with an unbeliever, we must remember we must be Jesus' witnesses. The spotlight must be upon Jesus. One day I was in a wake service about 10 years ago. There was this deceased in the coffin, and there was this man, elderly man, that came up, and he was a friend of the deceased, and he wanted to be a witness of Christ. And he shared for half an hour how God has blessed him, that he is a successful businessman, and how God has blessed his children, and all of them are successful, and how God has blessed his grandchildren, that they go to they got scholarship and go to the best university. And I was amazed because he was not Jesus' witnesses. The spotlight was upon himself. And Jesus tells us that when you testify, you are not to testify about yourself, but about Jesus Christ. After all of us are just like the lighthouse. In the storm, in the darkness, you imagine the captain of the ship, when he looks at the lighthouse, he can't see the lighthouse at all. We are just like the lighthouse. We are in the background in the darkness. But what the captain of the ship that can see in the storm is the light that shines forth from the lighthouse. So when we become Jesus' witnesses, the spotlight must be upon Jesus and not upon our life. It is good that we share the gospel with our friends who are non-believers. But then many times you will encounter, like myself, that the non-believers will say that you have talked the talk, but are you willing to walk the talk? Because talk is cheap. talk is of no value. And Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great philosopher, says that what you do speaks so loudly that I cannot hear what you are saying. Action speaks louder than words. It is absolutely necessary that we must speak and share the gospel. But more than that, we need to put the gospel into action in our life. Otherwise, there is no and there is no power. And even Jesus' life, when Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness and he defeated Satan, he went to Galilee and started his ministry. And here in Matthew 4:23, we read that Jesus not only proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom, but he also healed all sickness and diseases. So you see that when Jesus does his ministry, it is not only speaking, but it is also doing. Because it is only by doing that Jesus authenticates his ministry. If Jesus speaks and does not heal, his speaking becomes not authentic. So as Christians, when we become Christ witnesses, we must not only share, we must also do good works and acts of kindness. Because the good works and acts of kindness will authenticate the message. And Jesus' brother James in 2:26 says that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is useless and hopeless, and it cannot save you. Faith must be followed by works in order for it to be genuine. And here in the Sermon of the Mount, Jesus in Matthew 7:21, many people think that I call myself a Christian and that is my ticket to heaven. When I come to church and call myself a Christian, that is my ticket to heaven. But Jesus in the Sermon of the Mount says that not everyone who call me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. Who then enter the kingdom of heaven? Only those who does the will of my Father in heaven. So you see, brothers and sisters in Christ, if we are to follow Jesus' model of ministry, we must not only share the gospel, we must also live out the gospel in our life. And Mahatma Gandhi says that if all Christians would only live by the teachings of Jesus Christ as found in the Bible, all India would become Christians. Mahatma Gandhi lived out his life, the Sermon of the Mount of Jesus Christ. But he never became a Christian, because I read a story. One day, Mahatma Gandhi was given an opportunity while he was a lawyer in Africa to live in a Christian family. And Mahatma Gandhi was elated, because Mahatma Gandhi says that he has researched all religion in the world, all the holy scriptures in the world. And Mahatma Gandhi has come to only one conclusion and nothing else. And that conclusion is that Jesus Christ is the one true living God. And so now he can stay and live with a family, a Christian family, for 8 months. And he was so happy, overjoyed, and he stayed. But after 8 months, he said that Jesus Christ cannot be the one true living God. Because in this family, they do not read the Bible. They have many Bibles, but the Bibles were all collecting dust. And the family hardly say grace, and they hardly go to church. And there were a lot of conflict and fighting within the family. And Mahatma Gandhi made a fatal mistake, because he focused on man and not on God. If you focus on man, you will be disappointed. But we are told that we must focus on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 2:15 reminds us that for we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. In other words, if you are an authentic Christian, from your life, there is this perfume that emanates from your life. So your loved one, your family, your colleagues at work, when they come to in contact with your life, they can actually experience and smell that aroma of Christ. And our life is actually the fragrance of Christ. We must remember. And I came across many years that there is this particular perfume that is called pure poison. Our life must not be toxic to our family, to our fellow workers. Pure poison. The Bible reminds us that Christians, our life must be pure perfume of Christ. Whoever comes near to us can smell that perfume, that goodness in our life. In 2005, there was this Malaysian couple with two daughters. God called them to go to China to become missionaries. And they started this cafe selling what else? Pak Kopi. You know, Ipoh is famous for coffee. So they sell coffee, and this is during Christmas time. They make a lot of cookies, and they invite the non-Christians in China to come and celebrate Christmas, and they share the gospel message. And do you know what is the name of the cafe? It is called Rasa Aroma. And it is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. That says that Christians, we are the aroma of Christ. And so from this cafe, they make a lot of bread. You can see their nice bread, their nice cakes and cookies, and they sell to the surrounding people who are non-Christians. And they also took in two of the workers. One is a minority, and the other is a Han Chinese, to work with them. And through their life, they minister and share the gospel message. And that is why among their team in China, the tagline is, "Our life is the message." Our life is the message. In 2001, I was at the crossroad of my life. I was having a midlife crisis. And so I decided that I want to go to China to do a short-term trip. And this was the place 16 years ago. It is high up in the mountains in Sichuan province. And at that time, you look at the street. This was a picture that I took. There was hardly any car. It took me like 2 days to reach this place in the mountain. There are hardly any cars, and there were bullock carts, just like Malaysia in 1960s. I think Malaysia in 1960s is something like this. And there, I taught the Chinese doctors and nurses, and you know, I'm from an English stream, and I was teaching them in Mandarin. I don't know how. And my church members say that God must have given you the gift of tongues. That you can lecture in Mandarin. My Mandarin is so bad. And then these were the students, poor students. But then I had many slides for them to read in Chinese. And also there was this operation that I did for this patient who had tuberculosis of the wrist joint. And then every night when I sleep, this is exactly the pillow that I sleep. In this hospital where we stayed inside the hospital quarters. And at night, I sleep on this pillow, which I took a photograph. And do you know what is the word there? I, which is love. And so for those of you who have insomnia, I would suggest that you will just buy a pillow and with the word love. Because when you sleep at night on the pillow of love, knowing that the people around you love you and God loves you, you have no problem in sleeping. You will sleep like a log. After a hard day's work serving the Lord, you will sleep very well. It is only when you don't serve the Lord and you think about yourself and your problems that you have insomnia. And Psalms 127 verse 2 reminds me. And this is a verse that I like. Psalm 127 verse 2. He says that for those God grants sleep to those he loves. So if you have insomnia, I would advise you to memorize this verse, Psalm 127, verse 2. God grants sleep to those he loved. And not only that, when we eat the dinner, in the hospital, even the bowl they gave us got love. And I'm truly amazed. And the hospital, none of them are Christian. In this town up in the mountains, about 600,000 people, there's no church, there's no Christian. It is so isolated, it takes a couple of days to reach there. And yet they knew that when we come as Christians, as children of God, we come in love. And that is why the person on your left, I remember he took me in the car, Pajero, and he was driving me down the mountains and taking me to the airport. It was like 6 hours journey. And then without saying anything, this driver asked me in Mandarin. Luckily, I can understand a bit of Mandarin. 为什么你来中国? 奉献我们. He said, why do you come to China? He said that in Malaysia, you got a family, you have to leave your family, and then you have to leave your job, and then you have to spend money, and you come to China in this isolated place. Why on earth do you want to come here? And that is the time when Christian earned the right to share. Because of your acts of kindness and good works, you have earned the right to share the gospel. And I told him, because I have received the love of Christ in my life. And that love of Christ cannot be contained. It just overflows and it compels me to share the love with your people. So the best way to do evangelism is to do servant evangelism. That means you serve others first by your action. And then you have earned the right to share the gospel. And in the OMF, 1 year we have about 700 of people all over the world serving in short-term mission trip. In Malaysia alone this year, we have 59 people. Many of you go on holidays, 3 holidays, 4 holidays. Why don't you just take 1 holiday and go for a short-term mission trip and see how the missionaries do mission work? What are the challenges they face? What are the opportunities where you can engage in mission? But the word witness is not only sharing, speaking, and doing. If you look at the original Bible in Greek, the word witness is the Greek word martyres. And we know that the word English word martyr comes from martyres. So to be a witness, we must not only share and speak, we must also live it out. And sometimes for some of us, luckily, we are even called to die for Jesus Christ. And that is to be a witness of Christ. And no wonder Hudson Taylor says that by our graves, let China be won for Christ. And Hudson Taylor and many others, hundreds of missionaries, died in China. And that is to be Christ's witness. Secondly, who is to do mission? We think that it is the missionary. But is that what Jesus' last word tell us? Here Jesus' last word tell us that you will be my witnesses. And I'm not an English teacher, but I know that word means everyone. Jesus is saying everyone is to be involved in mission, and not only the missionaries. If there's someone in your church who, by the name of fragrance or perfume, she wants to go and do mission work in the mission field in China, she can't go by herself. She needs the church. The church is the sender. She is the goer. The church will have to mobilize maybe 20, 30, 50 of the members to pray for fragrance to go to the mission field. After all, we know that mission field is not a play field. Mission field is a battlefield. It's a spiritual battlefield. And so Jesus in Matthew 9:38 says that the harvest field is plentiful, but the workers are few. pray to the Lord of harvest. Undergirding mission work is prayer. Without prayer, there is no mission work. That is why when Fragrance, the missionary, wants to go to the mission field, the church must mobilize 20, 40, 50 people to pray regularly for the missionary. And not only the church must mobilize intercessors, but the church must also mobilize people who will want to encourage the missionary in the mission field. Because we know that in the mission field, the weather is very cold, the food is very foreign, the culture is very different. And many times the missionary in the field, they go through depression. They are lonely. And we need church people who will WhatsApp, who will email, who will call and encourage the missionary. Please don't give up. Please don't come back. We will encourage you. And also when the missionary come back, they need people in the church to buy flight for them. And also church members to buy Bible tracts, to buy Bible for the missionary to take to the mission field. So you see, brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus' last word tell us that it is not only the missionary who is doing the mission work, but the whole church must be involved. The missionary is the goer, the church is the sender. Last year, 10th of October, I read that there was a boy, 3 years old boy, that was walking in the field. And then he fall into this pit, very small pit, narrow pit, that was 26 feet deep. And when the boy fall in, luckily for him, his feet landed at the bottom of the pit. And he was alive, and there was only water, about 1 feet water. And he was alive, and he was shouting for his dear life. And the people on the surface heard his crying. And they called the firefighters. There were many firefighters that came to rescue him. But then they only need one person to go down into the dark pit. Who will be the one? And there was this firefighter, skinny fella. He said, "I will be the goer. I will go down into the dark pit, but you all of you, on the surface, you tie me with this rope, and remember, when you lower me down the pit, don't forget me. I'm down there. I bring this torchlight, the light of Jesus Christ, to go and look out for the boy that is perishing. And I'm bringing another rope so that I can tie the other rope on the boy. And if I tell you to let go a little bit, you let go a little bit, not too much. Otherwise, I'll crash head down and die. And also remember, when I ask you to pull up, you better jolly well pull me up. You don't leave me in the darkness. I will perish." And so the boy was rescued. So you see, this goer went down, head down first. And he tied a rope on the boy, and the boy was rescued. And then he tells the people on the surface, the sender, "Please pull me up," and they pull him up. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may I ask you the question, who is more important, the sender, the goer that goes down, or the sender that is on the surface? The answer is obvious. Both the goer and the sender works as one team. Without the goer, there's no need for a sender. Without the sender, the goer cannot go. You go into the darkness, you'll die. So you see, mission is for everyone. And Oswald J. Smith, 100 years ago, Oswald Smith, he was a pastor in Toronto, Canada. At the age of 26, he felt a very strong calling to go to do overseas mission work. And so he applied to missionary agency. But they failed him because he has no medical clearance. He was sick most of the time. And as a mission agency, we do not want to send someone who is sick all the time to the mission field because he will die in the mission field. But when he did not get medical clearance from one mission agency, he went to the next one, and the next one, and the next one, until finally he exhausted all the missionary agency. Nobody wanted to take him in and send him to the mission field for him to die. So what he did was, since he cannot be a goer, he decided that, "I want to be the sender." And so he mobilized the church. Every Sunday after Sunday, he will preach a mission sermon. And every year, he will have a mission conference. And his church grew to very big. And then his church actually supported 500 missionaries. And Oswald Smith says that you must go. And if you don't go, you must send a substitute. Become a sender. And I like Tony Fernandez because he said that everyone can fly. In OMF, we say our tagline is everyone can do mission. So Pastor Philip, no excuse for them. Thirdly, how to do mission. Jesus tells us that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. When we do mission, we must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. It is not our work. Mission does not belong to Christian. Mission does not belong to the church. Mission belongs to God. And God says He will not leave us as orphans. He will leave us the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit that will empower us. And Jesus in John 14 says that the Holy Spirit is our helper in mission. The Holy Spirit will teach us in all things on how to share the gospel. And the word power in the original Greek version is the word dynamine, which has the connotation of something that is supernatural, dynamic, and explosive. So when you share the gospel with non-believers, please remember the word, the last word of Jesus Christ, that it is the Holy Spirit that dwells in you that will empower you to share the gospel effectively. We must always rely on the Holy Spirit. Early this year, I gave up my medical practice. I was doing part-time a few hours. But because ministry was very busy, I decided I gave up. But God was good. When I gave up my medical practice early this year, this was my last patient. This lady brought the mother to see me. So I did an x-ray. I examined the mother and I told them there's no problem. And they were very happy. So the mother went out and the daughter by the name of Jane, she was walking out and she was 1 foot outside my room and 1 foot outside my room, 1 foot inside my room. She was caught in a difficult situation. The Holy Spirit prompted me, you know, somehow or other, ask the lady, do you go to church? So I obeyed as a Christian, trying to be a good Christian. I obeyed the Holy Spirit prompting. So I asked the lady, she was caught half outside, half inside. I said, excuse me, do you go to church? She turned around and she said, no, I don't go to church. Then I told her, can I share with you something? Because I got plenty of time now, last patient, plenty of time, and no need to charge one, no. So she turned around and she smiled, and then she sat down across the table. And then I brought a piece of paper, as usual, and then I asked her, why don't you go to church? Oh, no lah, for me, to become a Christian, no, I don't want to become a Christian. But, you know what, doctor? Recently, my father, you know, he was dying. The pastor came, you know, 2 weeks before he died, shared the gospel, and my father believed, you know, but now he died already lah. Then I say, do you want to believe in Jesus, but you don't have to die one lah. So I took out the piece of paper, and this was what I draw. This is exactly the piece of paper I draw, and she took it away. I said, God created man, and the name was Jane. I said, God created man, and you see, Jane, you are supposed to have eternal life because in the presence of God, there is eternal life. But then, man sinned against God. Adam and Eve sinned against God. And so, because of sin, man became separated. All of us become separated from God. And when we become separated from God, we die the eternal death. And eternal death, I wrote there, is what? Hell. Hey, don't be shy to tell hell, you know. If you are shy to tell people hell, then you tell the fellow, hell, hell. If you're still scared to tell hell, yell, yell. The place where people yell. And I read that in the KJV, in KJV version, hell is mentioned, you know how many times? 54 times, you know. And why should we be shy to say hell? Like I say, if you think the time is not right, say yell. And NIV, they have watered down to 14 times. But we must share sometimes when appropriate that if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you have this eternal death which is called hell. And this is the bad news. We must share the bad news because embedded inside the good news, many of us don't realize it's the bad news. When I share the good news with somebody, if that somebody don't believe and accept the good news, the person is accepting the bad news. The person is going to hell. So we have to tell the listener clearly that there is this bad news. It is only when we share and the person know about the bad news. Right? R.C. Sproul say that the gospel is only good news when we understand the bad news. And because we never share the bad news, the listener do not accept the good news. And that is sometimes our failure. Washman Nee, I love to read his books. Washman Nee one day was walking on the seaside with his friend. And as he was walking, his friend noticed in the sea there was a man that was drowning. You can see the head and the hands, and he was struggling for his dear life. And Washman Nee's friend knew that Washman Nee was a good swimmer. So he told Washman Nee, there's a man drowning there. Can you please go and save him? But Washman Nee just ignored him and continued to walk and walk and walk. And finally, they can only see the fingers above the water. Only the fingers above the water. And it was then and only then that Washman Nee ran for his dear life, plunged into the sea and rescued the man. And Washman Nee says that a drowning man cannot be saved. A drowning man cannot be saved until he is utterly exhausted and ceases to make the slightest effort to save himself. And Washman Nee tells his friend, if I have followed what you told me to go and save the man when he was at first struggling, he would have dragged me down and both of us would have died. And so friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes it is appropriate for us to tell the non-believer about the bad news if they don't accept the good news of Jesus Christ. And then I told her that we do good works, we give money, we do a lot of good things, but none of these can save us. Because in Isaiah, God tells us that our good works to God is filthy rags. And one day when I was reading the translation of filthy rags, you know what is filthy rags? Our good work is like filthy rags. The Bible, filthy rags means apparently is the garment used for woman's period. And that is our good works. It cannot save us. The only thing that can save us is the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And so I told this lady, the only way to be reconciled to God is through Jesus Christ, the good news. And then she cried. Because after hearing the bad news, and now knowing there's hope in the good news through Jesus Christ's death on the cross, she cried and she said that, Doctor, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And as a doctor, as a surgeon, I need to be very precise. So I told her, Jane, can you please take out your IC? Because I want you, I don't want to make any error, you know. So I said, now you follow me, okay? I, according to the IC, her name, I, ABC, you know, admit that I'm a sinner. And I want to confess my sin this morning to Jesus Christ. B, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he died for me on the cross. And C, I want to commit my life to Jesus forever. And she followed me in the prayer. And then she walked out of my room. And now one leg outside, one leg inside. I told her, I said, Jane, if anything happened to you today, you will go straight to heaven. You will go straight to heaven because Jesus Christ has saved you. Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Finally, we had to do mission, Petaling Jaya. But that is not what Jesus' last word tells us. Jesus' last word tells us that we are to do mission in Jerusalem, which is Petaling Jaya, Kuala Lumpur. But my Bible is not a full stop. After Jerusalem, it's not a full stop. Your Bible also not full stop, I know. And mine is NIV, never incorrect version some more. And it continues, Jerusalem and all Judea. It means all Malaysia. We must do mission work, not only in Jalan Gasing, but also in all Malaysia. Again, my Bible says, it's not a full stop, it is an end. Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria. That means we must do mission work also in Indonesia, Philippines, Myanmar. And not only that, Jesus continued. It's not a full stop. It continues with an end to the ends of the earth. We are to do mission work not only in Petaling Jaya, Malaysia, but also to the ends of the earth. And John stopped before he died. He says that our God is a global God. Therefore, we must become a global Christian with a global vision. Malaysians, we only like to become jago kampung. But Jesus' last word tells us that we must become a global Christian with a global vision. When we do mission work, we do to the ends of the earth. 1786, William Carey was a Baptist minister. And it's appropriate because this is a Baptist church. One morning in the ministerial meeting among the pastors, one morning, William Carey was a young pastor. He stood up and he says that, I felt strongly that God called us to do mission work in India because the people in UK, many of the unbelievers, non-Christian, have listened to the gospel one time, two times, five times, 10 times. We can continue to share the gospel 11 times. We can continue to share the gospel 12 times. But God is calling us to share the gospel in India where there's no Christian, where there's no church. And they have not heard the gospel even one time. So one of the senior Baptist ministers stood up. As usual, William, sit down and shut up. If God wants to convert the heathens in India, he will do so without your help and my help. And William Carey knew his Bible very well. Should I follow man or should I obey God? William Carey obeyed God and he went to India. He stayed there for 40 years and there were hundreds of Indians who became Christian. So be a global Christian with a global vision. So in summary, mission of God is God calling all Christians and churches to go into the world to be His witnesses empowered by the Holy Spirit. Mission is God's heartbeat. And we are after God's heartbeat. We must be involved in mission, either by going or by sending. Because our God is a missionary God. Jesus is God's missionary son. Our Bible is a missionary book. The gospel is a missionary message. The church is a missionary institution. And all Christians are? Oh, you all got it already. Thank you very much. When the church ceases to be missionary-minded, it has denied its faith and betrayed its trust. Let us pray. Father God, we want to thank you for you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago to die for us, sinners, great sinners, that today we are saved and has become your children. And Lord, out of our gratefulness and thankfulness, we want to surrender our lives to you and honor you so that we can go forth and share the gospel, the good news, with those who are perishing. And we thank you for Pantai Baptist Church, for the pastors, for the leaders, and for the members, for many of them are involved in mission work in one way or another, either by going or by sending. May your Holy Spirit continue to empower this church as this church shines for you now and forever. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.